This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
More people sending in various other athletes that missed games for funny reasons. Like when Hunter Pence missed a game or two after slipping and going sliding through the glass door.
That's the one I was thinking of, yeah.
Somebody else mentioned, when Phil Maton got a... hurt his hand punching the locker. Mm-hmm. It also reminds me of, remember Jane McDaniels, who just got bounced out of the NBA playoffs last year, left the playoffs because he punched a wall. Like, punching things is always a funny thing to me because, like, that's a self-inflicted wound. Why did you do that? What about that sounded like a good idea? I don't know. But as we go around the NFL here, I'm interested. Do you think that this sounds like a good idea here, Lopez, mm-hmm. and dear listener? Because Roger Goodell, who is the commissioner of the National Football League, when it came to the owners' meetings recently, it seems like he's kind of hinting at something, mm-hmm. and that would be hardening of the salary cap. Now, I know that you're looking at me and saying, Reggie, what you mean? They already have a hard cap. Like, this isn't basketball where it's a soft cap, right, where, you know, if you reach, you can go over the salary cap for certain reasons or what have you. This isn't baseball where it's technically no cap except the the competitive balance tax operates as some sort of pseudo soft tax. But we've seen a lot of things happen lately with we were talking about this recently, mm-hmm. kind of the maneuvering and manipulation of the salary cap. Things like void years, that are years that you never anticipate using, but are things that you can help push payments out into the future, what have you. Goodell kind of talked about he called into question something, quote, the integrity of the cap, actually speaking out by name against the idea of these void years or mm-hmm. what have you. Now, he obviously isn't speaking specifically about this, but him kind of delving into this area, kind of poking at that, would seem to indicate that when that next CBA comes up, this might be a focus for the NFL, is cutting down on some of these manipulation tactics to make it so that the salary cap operates more straightforward in the ways that you anticipate the salary cap operating. Like, do you like this as an idea? Is there something that you believe is going to be a good idea for the NFL if they do pursue this?
All right, I'm going to go in a totally different direction.
Okay,
all right. I see you working, Raj. I see you working. Why did he float this? Why do you think he floated this?
I don't know. That's a good question that's worth asking, especially as he works at behest of the teams.
Yeah, you float this idea and start maybe gaining some traction on it. So when you're at the negotiating table and you say, hey, we want an 18-game schedule, that way the Players Association says, well, not if you're going to do this too. And then they'll say, okay, we won't do that.
Yeah, but
I think this is all part of the grand picture of getting an 18-game schedule. And, you know, and then he's going to harden this cap because it affects salaries, affects, roster spots for players that are maybe on the back end of their career, et cetera, you know, being able to manipulate the salary. I think this is a little more complex than the surface tells you, because what it does, it gives them the right to negotiate about this and wanting to do this and all that. And then finally back away from that so they can get the 18-game schedule.
I think I like the idea that you get into here, because you always have to consider what is the state of the game, right? And with the negotiation of the CBA, it's always, especially mm-hmm. from the NFL's perspective, the owners often have the upper hand in power and leverage, and creating more leverage is something that they're good at, right?
Yeah.
However, I don't know that that necessarily adds up in my mind, because the hard salary cap stands to benefit the teams more than the players themselves.
That's
right?
My point. The Players Association is going to push back on it.
No, I don't. Well, the idea,
because the salaries are going to have to be more constricted.
The lack of a hard salary cap, like the ways in which these void years, this is a mechanism that has been developed to help teams with their accounting. Mm-hmm. The accounting gets more difficult, and that's more of a team thing. So I don't know why the teams would put that in and be like, I'll shoot myself in the foot if you don't give me this. Like, I don't know how that operates as a negotiation chip.
I think it ultimately affects salaries and number of salaries. I mean, if you're more constricted in your salary cap, just common sense will tell you that some players are going to have to fall by the wayside that maybe would be able to get a salary otherwise. You know what I mean?
I mean, maybe. And yeah. if they're able to contort it to that place, more power to the NFL mm-hmm. and their negotiation tactics, because that would that feels like that's a real lackadaisical offering that the NFL would be giving to the PA yeah. in that instance. But I do find that interesting, and I kind of do like that as, I mean, for one, I think one of the things the NFL has always benefited from is having a salary cap that is more accessible to its fan base. That, like, you look,
it is, isn't it?
You yeah. look at basketball, and it is an absolute mess.
All these different tiers and
the different, you know, yeah. the different exceptions. You yeah. get the MLE and the yeah. TPE and all these, right? The ABCD,
yeah.
right? You get all those happening.
Like I went into this rabbit hole about the Oklahoma City Thunder, and I'm sure you did too. How they ultimately were built in 2009 or something.
I seen that. It yeah. started from the Rashad Lewis yes. trade back in 07.
Like, my brain started hurting. I was like, wait,
I'm lying,
what?
Huh?
I was like, oh. I mean, you piece it together, but you're right. It is more straightforward in the NFL. But I think ultimately the players want, and the Players Association specifically, wants to make sure their players always get as much money as possible. I think you're right. It's harder on the teams in terms of the finances and making the cap fit. But by doing that, it does restrict the amount of money that players ultimately get.
I don't know that that's actually the case, because when, yeah. with the void years, those teams then have to take on that. That money gets paid or gets accounted for in the salary cap at some point. It's just these owners are now like, hey, this money is in the salary cap in another year, where if you have more of a hard cap, and of course, this is the words that I'm using here. I don't mm-hmm. think that it's like the end all be all, or it's an exact yeah. Description of what we're talking about here. But if you have more of a true hard cap, where you're not having some of these, as Goodell called them, dummy years, then that, you know, that extra $40 million or what have you that you've pushed off into future years, that is that you could pay that in that year when you have it, because this is, or, you know, in that time period mm-hmm. of the actual situation of the teams. And honestly, it would serve to keep, I guess, the team owners at least protect them from themselves, which the team owners typically like
yeah.
usually. But yeah, I think that probably would make sense in my estimation. Do you think, though, that would kind of change competition? Because, again, we were talking about this yesterday, and I feel strongly about the idea of when you're trying to go for it, that's when you use all these mm-hmm. these tricks. The idea of not having some more of those tricks at your disposal, would that then maybe make it a little bit harder to, in this, you know, heavy parity league, find little opportunities to get a little bit of an advantage over
absolutely.
Other teams?
Absolutely. It constricts the team's ability to sign those final pieces and maybe kick some of the salary down into these.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Other years.
Yeah, and maybe I am overrating this, because the 713 makes a good point. Like taxes, they will always find a loophole. That's the thing, is when you have some level of cheaters, and I know it's not cheating, but I think you get the point.
Mm-hmm.
Cheaters are always ahead of the, you know, of the tests or of the things that are meant to stop them. There will always be the more innovative of the two. And so maybe the teams ultimately find another way to have some salary.
It's always some type of loophole with anything yep. in life, man. No yep. matter what they do, they always try to find... They end up finding another loophole mm-hmm. to get nice. Around it.
Some other things happening around the NFL. Joey Bosa is likely out for the summer or until later in the summer. The new Bills acquisition at pass rusher. I think for me, I saw that and I was like, yeah.
Yeah.
Did y'all not see that coming? Like Joey Bosa, that feels like what he does. Some other things, OTA-wise, John Harbaugh finally in front of the media and an opportunity to be asked about conversation things that they did, including cutting Justin Tucker. He described it as a multi-layered and complicated decision, saying, I mean, you're talking about arguably the best kicker in the history of the game. And like we said, it's a multi-layered and complicated, but in the end, it all comes back to what you have to do to get ready for your team to play the first game. And I think if you step back and you take a look at all the issues and all the ramifications, you can understand that we've got to get our football team ready and we've got to have a kicker to go. And that was the move that we decided to make. Close quote. There was people that pushed back on that, like, hey, if he has not been kicking since, or if you have mm-hmm. not seen him kick, how could this be a football decision or what have you? Do you believe or do you buy kind of what Jim Harbaugh's putting out.
Well, remember, this was
John, rather, Harbaugh's putting out.
This was one of the buy or sells back when he got cut. And by the way, we'll do that at 12:40 today. I actually think that's about as honest as you can get as a head coach, because he did say, as you just pointed out, you know, it was complicated. It was complicated, and we had to get our team ready, which is kind of a weird way of saying we didn't need that distraction. We didn't know if he was going to be available.
Yeah, I think that that's the big point, I think it was a necessary thing for him to talk about it in those terms in order for them to be able to make the move without exposing them to whatever repercussions Justin Tucker might want to take if he wants to get litigious within this, right? No, this is a decision that we had to make in this way.
Yeah.
Some other things from OTAs out there with the Jacksonville Jaguars. Liam Cohen spoke to reporters earlier in the week, and he talked about how they're not going to have Travis Hunter work both sides of the football in any given OTA practice, saying, quote, "We won't put him in that situation to have him do that, although I'm sure he'd probably want to. He still meets defensively every day, and that's all, and you know, and he's on offense and what have you, getting the mental part of what have you." I think for me, the question that then is raised by, hey, he's having, you know, an offense day and a defense day or what have you, how viable do we actually think this is? I think that's going to be a at any given milestone during this offseason and head to the season, like, how viable is this actually doing this thing that has not been done in a little bit, and it probably has not been done to the level that they are trying to actually do this?
I think that's a great way to put it. How viable is it? I think they think it's viable by doing it this way. The other thing he said is, like, during the season, he is going to be on the field. He's going to have to, in certain game plan situations, be on the field both offensively and defensively. I think it's viable. I know you're a little more skeptical about it, but if you're going to do it, this is the only way to do it. You know, you're going to have to talk about monitoring reps and stuff. It's the only way to do it.
Yeah, and I guess it makes sense to be very careful with the way that you operate with him early if you're anticipating having the crazy reps later. I'm interested in seeing, like, how much development he can get in this way, where you're kind of, in a way, I understand the idea of having offense day, having defense day where he could focus, but also he has a ways to go on both of those sides to get, like, NFL level. He is the caliber of prospect that you want on as a, you know, first round pick, as a high first round pick, as a wide receiver and as a cornerback. And having both of those in one package obviously is a good thing. But as a wide receiver, we could talk about how the route running still had a lot of polish that was necessary. That was one of those things that people were jabbing at him for when you saw them in rookie minicamp, right? As a cornerback, I think one of the big things is just, like, getting the technique down at this high level, which I think he still has a good head technique. Mm-hmm. But the tough thing about it, and I don't know how you fix this, is size. Size ends up being an issue for him, both on both sides of the football, right, with all of the physicality that he's going to be either dealing or engaging with offensively. So I'm like, How does him only having one, like, half of these reps, I guess, or maybe not half of these reps, but half of the days for each of these sides actually get him prepared? I am so intrigued by what this is ultimately going to look like when you get to that place of seeing him, in training camp even. Mm-hmm. Like, is this something that they continue as far as training camp, or is he just going to be in the place where he's jumping back and forth every day? Because I'm so intrigued by the mechanisms of why you do this. I think that this is why having the genuine two-way players damn near impossible.
Yeah, no, and I think it will. He didn't reference this when he was talking. I think it will continue through training camp in the preseason, but as I mentioned, when you're game planning in the regular season game, you got to have your guys out there. The other part of it that's you know, with good reason you're going to limit this is, you know, every rookie ever talks about how your head's just swimming your entire rookie
year,
you know, and now it's swimming in a deeper pool. You know?
Right.
Yeah.
But yeah, I just keep thinking, man, like, this is the part that I imagine is going to be even more difficult than just the physical toll of this. I think about baseball, right? Why are there not more Shohei Ohtanis? There are dudes that do this. Like, I think it was Mark Kotze, who was, like, a really good pitcher in addition to being, like, an outfielder. But you get to a place where, are you developing both things at the same time to where you can continue to test both of these things at the levels that you need to? Do you have enough time to be able to continue to develop these things? And I think that's going to be the fun thing about watching the Travis Hunter experiment over there in Jacksonville. Some other things from OTAs, it's worth noting that Jaden Daniels, who is the dude who I think is becoming a little bit of a juxtaposition for C.J. Stroud after he had a phenomenal rookie season, when he showed up at OTAs, there's a notable kind of thing that was being thrown out there, which is he looks a little bit thicker.
He's ripped.
Looks a little bit thicker, which is going to be necessary, right? Because I think that offensive line was a question for them. They made some moves, including acquiring Laremy Tunsil from here. I'm very interested to see how this continues to go for him as he's already put on the weight. I think he's putting on the muscle in order to try and withstand more of that punishment that he seems to be willing to take. Like as a as a quarterback, he seems to be willing to get out there and take this, you know, get out there, run, and take a hit if he needs to.
Well, I mean, he had to, and he did. And frankly, you know, I think he's going to be just one of the absolute joys to watch this year to see. I should say intriguing to watch to see exactly, you know, if he does take that next step. It certainly, with that extra muscle, certainly would be a good step.
Yeah, there's a lot of expectation on those Commanders this year, and I'm interested, especially considering the ways in which C.J. Stroud's second year went, and obviously we know the particulars of that. What does the Jane Daniels year two experience look like, especially after a very highly touted rookie year? All right, you're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. That's Around the NFL. Coming up next. Whenever you have a blowout like we did in the Western Conference Finals, that game, Western Conference Finals ceiling game that happened between the Thunder and Timberwolves, everybody starts chirping up about how they would have done better. And so let's have the conversation. Would the Rockets have beaten the Timberwolves if they had had the opportunity to meet them? 713-572-4610. Let's work through that next.
All right, let's talk.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.